Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. The Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hot dang! It's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant. Now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. Hava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
What you talking about, Willis? It's Shauna Gillis.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go Milo.
Hit a homer with Jeffrey Bomer. Hannah,
God, I love that banana.
Anderson.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Lulu Simon.
Sue Sue Studio.
Give them hell, Miss Noel. Kelly Stump, the Stump Master.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
One day your Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
We're all in with Julia Conlin.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Nancy Cease and DeSisto. We love you guys.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old bravs. Hi, I'm Ronnie Karam. You can also find me over on Rose Pricks, the Bachelor Roast podcast, which is new today. It's really fun. It's Fantasy Suites time. Time to bang in the Fantasy Suites, y'all. And here I am with my little friend and partner and co-host, Mr. Ben Mandelker of the Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. Hello, Ben.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What's going on with you, babe?
You know, I have actually neglected my Real Housewares. I've got to write a new episode, but that's partially because I have spent the past week and a half designing a Countess Luann-themed board on Mario Maker 2, and it's almost ready, and I'm really excited about this. I feel like this is just like the culmination of two of my favorite things in the entire world, Nintendo and Real Housewives of New York. So
yeah, you go, boy.
I'm so excited. Yeah,
everybody, okay, so here is our plugs. I'm going to do them real quick. This is the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Reunion Part 1, but first, here's our plugs. We are starting to travel again this month. The 25th, 26th, and 27th of July.
Next week.
We're going to be Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Baltimore. We also just announced new show dates in Atlanta, two show dates in Atlanta, so go get those. And here's our other cities coming up in 2019, okay? Charlotte, Nashville, Atlanta, Carrboro, Richmond, Fort Lauderdale, Indianapolis, Chicago, New York, St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Seattle. Okay, go get your tickets. Also, we've got three new shirts this month. We've got, hold on, let me, that was so fast. You know, I don't do
I know, we're waiting for the rest of, your body went one way and your brain is still catching up. Your brain's like, wait a second, you left without me.
Yeah, watching this reunion really just ate my brain. Okay, let's be honest. Well, so, our new shirts are
season one Camille.
Which is so fitting because this is a season one Camille day. It's also demoted to friend of. Uh-huh. And also... that other one.
Resting Honey Face.
Resting Honey Face for Hannah Banana. Also, this is a video recap. We're doing this on Crappens On Demand. So, hi, everybody on video.
Yeah.
If you guys want these, just become a member of Patreon at the Crappens On Demand level. We also have bonus episodes. This week's bonus is Southern Charm Nola. And we are also on Cameo. So, if you guys want birthday messages or whatever, just search our names on Cameo and you will find.
Yeah, I got to do one. Thank you for reminding me, Ronnie.
Gotta get caught up in your cameos.
I know. Okay? Gotta say happy birthday to people, okay?
So here we are at the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills reunion.
Wow.
Where I have been so hurt and trampled.
What an eventful reunion where so much happened and there was so much tension and things that I will hear, things that I heard that I will never unhear. Wow, what an hour. What an hour for Beverly Hills.
Well, you know, especially after they keep plugging it like it is. You know, like Kyle goes on press circuits and is like, oh, the season got so amazing after Vanderpump left. There's so much drama. Oh, wait until you see the reunion. And Andy's like, it was wild. It's the craziest thing you've ever... Listen, fucker, okay? I'm so sick of falling for this every time because I actually was like... Something's gonna happen. The most exciting thing to happen, and this is how sad the reunion is, the Andy has to show an Instagram live with Cooper Anderson or Anderson Cooper.
Yeah.
Okay. That's how sad this reunion is. Shame on you people.
When it opened with that, I was like, okay, this reunion is fucked. Oh, I mean, next week does look good. It looks like there's a lot of Camille fighting. But for sure, based on this season, we knew this was like a, especially if Lisa Vanderpump's not going to be there, we knew this is really a two-episode reunion at best. So they had to basically fill it for an hour, and they filled this first hour. And I'm actually a little thankful because I hate when they front-load the reunion with like good stuff, and then we have an hour of like filler, because that happens a lot, and then the third hour they bring it back to good stuff. At least we got the filler out of the way, hopefully. Although, in Beverly Hills, are you ever through the filler? Ever.
No, and you know, not only did it start with Anderson, I like Anderson. It's just sad that you have to like start a reunion by calling your friend on Instagram and being like, whoa, this is a great reunion. You know, Anderson's like literally in bed going, wow, really? Wow. Like I'm covering 10 wars right now, okay? Can you not try and make me think that this is exciting?
And they were like trying desperately to tease the idea that Lisa Vanderpump might show up, and it starts in that conversation with Anderson Cooper, where Anderson Cooper's like, so Lisa Vanderpump, she's not there. She wasn't there at all today. Maybe like a little bit. Is she going to maybe show up a little bit? And Andy Cohen just does this face like, I don't know. I can't say. We're like, she said she wasn't going to be there.
He's like, this is major. There's things happening, Cooper. There's things happening here. This is major. And he's like, there's trouble afoot. He's like, there's trouble afoot. Maybe she'll be. I'm like, you are such a creepy pirate right now. Like, it's bad enough when the camera is 10 feet away from you. Please get that phone out of your face.
I know, exactly. So then we see like a trailer for the reunion, which just is like, it opens with Kyle saying, I paid the ultimate cost. I'm like, quiet, Kyle. Stop that. Of course she would say that she paid the ultimate cost.
Ugh. Kyle doesn't pay the ultimate cost for anything. She has Faye Resnick do her designing, okay? That's like literally the cheapest you can get.
Yeah, the exact opposite of ultimate cost is Faye Resnick designs.
So let's see. Yeah, Kyle's like the ultimate victim.
That's all I wrote down from the trailer. She said that, and I was like, I'm not going to take notes on this trailer. I'm already mad. I'm mad at Kyle.
I wrote, does Google get money from this? Because the opening shot is a close-up of somebody Googling something. And it's like, R-H-O-B reunion. Okay, here's the results list. Lame, boring, neon dresses, shut up.
Yeah, neon dresses. Tennis balls are in.
Those are the top results from Ronnie.com. Okay, so then ask Ronnie.
So then after the trailer is done and the reunion starts, we have a little bit of like the pre-show pampering. Not that much, surprisingly. It's pretty much just comes down to Rinna going, hi, I'm in a wig. I'm in a wig.
Yeah. The new addition to Rinna's personality. Like now she's admitting to wearing wigs and it's so freeing that she, it's like, you know, when you come out of the closet really late and then it's like, I'm gay! Like, hi, Ronnie, how are you doing today? Gay, how are you? You know? Rinna came out of the closet for being a wig wearer so late in life that that's all she can talk about lately. It's like, Rinna, you've worn a wig for, like, literally 2 decades, okay? Can we stop pretending that you just found wigs?
I love her new wig. I think that's a really great look on her. I mean, I know she has her, like, signature, like, Rinna shag, which is fine if it makes her happy, but I just really like this one a lot more, I have to say. I'm pro new wig.
Yeah, I like the new wig too. And shockingly enough, it doesn't look like a wig. It doesn't look as much like a wig as her real hair. Is that weird?
Which is funny because if her, like, I mean, that's always the big thing. Like, is it her real hair or not? So if it is her real hair, I love that her real hair looks like a wig, but her wig looks like her real hair. Wow, what is life?
Seriously. This show just got very Marianne Williamson right now, okay?
Wow.
So they entered the stage doing what they
Rinna's wig just called up New Zealand and said, girlfriend, you're no longer the safest country for a child. It's going to be America once I'm president.
Listen, Kim, Kim, they're like, Kim Richards is here? No, Kim Jong-il, listen. Can we just hug? Okay, hugs. That's going to solve everything.
This is Marion Wigmanson. Sorry, I really tried to make that happen.
Okay, I forgive you for those nuclear weapons, Kim. Forgive you.
Were people doing cocaine in your palace?
Were people doing nukes in your bunker, Kim?
Yeah.
We start how everybody, they always start these episodes. They walk into a room going, you look so good. Wow, I love your dress. 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 And Dorit is in, you know, a whole pile of metal, just like daring anybody from the TSA to fuck with her.
Yeah, she has, like, you know, she's taken clips. So, I mean, speaking of Mario Maker, like, one thing that's really fun in Mario Maker is that you can take, you know, you got this blank canvas, right? And you can just fill the screen up with, like, 55 question boxes or, like, a million Koopa Troopas. And it's like someone played Mario Maker with hair clips on Dorit's head. She's like, she's basically like, guys, a 13-year-old boy designed my head today, just put nothing but clips on my head, and that's the liberty of Dorit Maker.
Hey, Dorit, what do they call that hairstyle? Koopa Troopa!
I mean, it did sort of look like dry bones.
Yeah. So then Erica's like, hey, Denise, you drinking Casamigos? That is crazy, right, Denise? Wow, look at Denise. She's crazy, everybody. Denise is the most entertaining person I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Well, you know, if Kim did that, you guys would be having her thrown in a Target basket and rolled down into the rehab.
That's true. I will say, getting back to your point from a few seconds ago where you said, it's just everyone saying, oh, I love your dress. I love your dress. I love
your
dress.
You're like a Bravo editor. You're like, 5 seconds ago.
5 seconds ago, Rondell said, just after we put Marion Williamson's soul into Lisa Rinna's wig and had her solve diplomatic crises in the North Korean situation. When you said, like, they're like, oh, I love your dress. I love your dress. You know, it's sort of like actually, that's actually like a microcosm of what's kind of wrong with a show these days. There's a lot of, like, every scene it feels like they are just jerking each other off over what they're wearing, you know? Like, remember when they were in France and every single time they come down a staircase, wow! Oh my God, I love that dress. I love that dress. You know, like, I don't think any other franchise is really as much like that. Like, maybe on Atlanta, or you might get, like, a little comment, but it's like, I think this show, like, we're supposed to just be blown over by the glam on display, and it's nice, but that's not what we're here for. I'm sorry. So I don't need to sit here and listen to it.
Money talks, wealth whispers. You know what I mean? Like, I get that your clothes are expensive. I don't need you to tell me. Okay, the fun of it is when you pretend that you don't know.
Yeah.
You know? You're just so rich you don't even have to care. Mm-hmm. It's not when you're like, oh my God, we're so rich!
Well, it's true.
And they do it every episode. But I guess it's better because, like, what are they supposed to do? Talk about their real lives? I mean, it's a reality show. They can't just come on like, hey, your husband's bankruptcy is looking real fun to read. Hey, that's looking fashionable.
Yeah.
Hey, PK ripped off 1. How many million? That is amazing, girl.
Now, that being said, speaking of fashion, I was actually surprised that Erica was, like, a bit understated for her normal look, I think, right? She was sort of in, like, a very standard blue thing. She looked like she was about to go to, a formal, like, a function with, like, to honor meeting an insurance goal or something like that, you know? I was surprised. I was just surprised for her, like, see,
she was
here
doing
I am.
Mrs. Girardi look.
Yeah, exactly. It was very, like, very sort of, like, prim. I was surprised.
Well, she doesn't really have to fight for attention with anybody this reunion.
That's true. That's true.
Sorry. Okay, so since I'm sure no one is sick of us talking about Vanderpump, let's move on to Vanderpump, because that's all we talk about this entire fucking reunion, okay? Yeah. Now, I would like to say, fuck off, Vanderpump. You should be at this reunion. Yeah. It sucks that you're not here. You're a total pussy for not coming, and you kind of deserve what you get in this reunion.
You know what? I actually have to agree, and I was thinking back on it. One thing that people have been saying, something that we've said, and everyone I've really talked to about the show, people keep sort of cringing and saying, is it bad that I'm kind of liking Dorit now? And the reason why people are liking Dorit is because, honestly, with Vanderpump gone, Dorit's just been able to be, like, silly and fun, and it's been no problem. And the truth is, in the first half of the season, I was getting so mad at Dorit because Dorit was acting like such a big victim when she was the one who really messed up this whole dog thing that kicked this off. And the truth is that by Vanderpump leaving, the sort of like the story did not become about the dog. The story became about Vanderpump, and ultimately Vanderpump lost that one. And as much as I was rooting for her,
she lost it because she didn't show up. And
she lost
totally,
it. Yeah, she lost.
And Dorit totally lucked out by just having other people fight around her and her not having to do anything.
Yeah, you know, Dorit allowed Dorit to become winnable. Yeah,
yeah, she got that lucky. That lucky. She just fell into it, I think, where she didn't have to, she didn't have to fight all season long about someone's vagina or somebody being late or her being late to somebody's lunch or whatever, which is, you know, normally Dorit's thing. She just got to sit back and smile through the pain, which was, it was funny because she caused it, but yeah, it's amazing how you can still like get worked up over this and how people online will still fight to the death over this. And I have to say, as much rage as I've had this season, I'm just kind of like, I'm not even going to rage about it anymore because you should have fucking showed up. And I'm
you know,
upset
I agree.
If somebody who rooted for you, I rooted for
no,
you.
No, you know what, Ronnie? I totally agree. You know, we were rooting for her. It's not even an issue of rooting. It was more just like, I thought that Lisa had more of the better winning argument. And I thought there was more hypocrisy going on with everyone else than with Lisa, and we always said we believed that Lisa was for sure trying to set up that scene, and that was never a question. But the punishment outweighed the crime, and they're just the hypocrisy that the rest of the group had regarding the whole Radar Online thing. And you know, I have my conspiracy theory that it's Kyle all along. I don't know, but that being said, I mean, we can be on Lisa's side, but then she has to be on our side too. She like if we're there
gotta
to support
show
you,
up, girl.
Yeah, and like the people have been vocal for months now. Okay, it's not like Lisa was like, oh, if I had known that I had the support, I would have shown up. She knew she should have done it. It was lame, and she lost my respect.
And then she's doing things like tweeting, "Oh, Caesar's Palace at Caesar's Palace. Thank you for the amazing opening. I wish that Bravo hadn't edited it all out." Well, you've got to show up. This is not your own show. You know, she said that she was filming the whole season and she's going to be in the rest of the season because she did keep shooting, but she just kept shooting her like charity parties and shit like that. And that's not why, you know, you have to. Okay, that's enough. That's a dead horse.
Well, maybe that's why she didn't show up, because she was shooting and she was like, oh, well, I'm not going to shoot with the other women, but I'll still be on the show. And then when Bravo doesn't show it, because they're like, no, you're getting punished right now. She's like, fuck them. So maybe there was some meta shit going on with Lisa and actual Bravo, not so much even the women.
Yeah. So then we start with Lisa, of course. So Andy's like, someone is missing. Lisa Vanderpump told a reporter she won't be attending or returning next season. This reminds me of Adrian Malouf.
Oh yeah, Lisa did something very wrong, which is that she upset Andy Cohen, and ooh, this was such a big passive aggressive segment. It was hilarious.
This was straight up aggressive, this segment. Yeah. So then we see the clips of that
Adrian Malouf's final act as a housewife is not showing up tonight. Lisa, what do you think about that? And of course, Lisa is so, I mean, it's so perfect. She's like, well, if you sign up to do a reality show, you have to be prepared to open up your life. Unless you are stabbed in the back, in the front, and the side by your so-called girlfriends.
And Brandy, old Brandy did. Innocent little Brandy Glanville Wanville, who's never done anything to anybody. All she did was showcase that Adrian consistently lied. And it's a mistake as well, because she leaked stories to Radar Online that she quit. And I believe that she wanted, I believe she wanted to stay so she could have...
She should have cleared up the mess and moved on.
Yeah, she should have showed up to clear up the mess and moved on. Which is, I don't remember it being exactly that it was because Adrian was selling stories. And I guess it was, because... Well, Adrian was accusing Vanderpump of selling stories, and then Vanderpump was accusing Malouf of selling stories, and then it turned out Chef Bernie was selling stories.
But then there was also that controversy where basically Brandy, I think that famous thing, the bomb she dropped at lunch that they could never aired, but I think what it was was that they had their Adrian's kids, they had a surrogate for their kids, perhaps, I'm not sure, and so it was just like this whirlwind of stuff, and Adrian just did not show up. Although it's so sad for Adrian, because at least Lisa Vanderpump went down in a blaze of glory. Adrian just, it's like, oh, you're not showing up? Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So
and so Kyle's like, well, she gave that interview to say she quit because she knew if she didn't show up, you'd fire her. So she was preemptively, quitting so that you couldn't fire her, you know? Yeah. And do you think I wanted to show up when, what was she talking about? The horrible thing that happened to Kyle?
Well, before that, Andy goes, when they come out of the flashbacks, Andy goes, if Adrian's last act as a housewife was not showing up to the reunion, it seems as though Lisa's final act as a housewife was telling a reporter she wasn't showing up and then not coming, which was his way of being like, you didn't even fucking tell us first. That was his way, which I was like, I really enjoyed the pettiness of that moment. But yeah, she was saying that she didn't want...
she'd been saying for months she wasn't going to go.
Yeah, but so Kyle had said that she was like, when she said about Kim, she's like, I was crying so hard, I was hyperventilating. That was 2011. I think that was at that Kingsley moment when they were having a fallout about the dog, maybe. There was the issue.
Oh, God, Kyle. The dog, I love that Kyle's always a bigger fucking victim than anybody in the world. So she's like, I didn't want to be there that day, but I did. I was hyperventilating. I'm like, you're always hyperventilating, okay? You hyperventilate at fucking crosswalks, Kyle.
Also,
you know, just blaming Lisa doesn't, being mad at Lisa today doesn't mean that I'm not more mad at you. You suck, Kyle, okay? I don't care who calls you the queen. You suck.
You don't get bonus points just because you have a compulsion to be on TV. Sorry.
Yeah, you're like, the worst. You're the worst queen of all housewives shows. You're the queen of the worst season of all housewives. Congratulations. You win highlighter dress.
Yeah, like, I'm not gonna spoil Game of Thrones, but basically there are a lot of parallels between Kyle getting the throne and whoever gets the throne getting the throne. Know what I'm saying? Big letdown.
Yeah, there's not much huge difference. Like, literally, yeah. Game of Bones. I guess it's Game of Bones. So Andy's like, in her statement, she said she had no inclination to reunite with the women who were harassing her. And they all start laughing. Dorit's like,
oh, I mean, that is harass
someone if you have no contact with them?
Yeah. Well, although that you can very easily.
Yeah, you can.
Have you listened to our podcast?
You did too, by the way. Yeah. Yes. We're very good at throwing stones and not having ever even met you people. So
what we do is we go right up to our glass walls, we open up the glass window in our glass wall and chuck stones out and then close the glass wall very quickly.
Yeah, we play stone racquetball in our glass houses, okay?
So then Raider Online also had this quote that said, a source close to Lisa says that she is being burned at the stake, nailed to the cross, and stoned by her co-stars all at the same time. But Lisa always wins. I'm like, okay, thanks very much, John Sessa and a Groucho Marx mustache. Yeah, a source close
it's
to
like
Lisa.
Like my mother giving a toast at her own birthday party, you know? I was burned at the stake, nailed to the cross, and stoned at the same time. Happy birthday to me.
Our close source to Lisa wearing a shirt that's too tight and strange filler in the face and way too much lip gloss with a suspicious advanced degree says that Lisa has been nailed to the cross and burned at the stake.
The younger version of Scrooge McDuck came in today. Yeah, you know what? I'm mad at a lot of people this season. I feel like this season wasted a lot of my time, but I'm not madder at anybody than I am at John Sessa. Fuck that guy.
Dr. John Sessa.
Yeah, fuck that guy. He ruined everything for me.
Yeah.
So, Andy's like, Erica, what do you think of that? She goes, get off the cross. We'll need the wood. And I was like, well, that's about as original as anything you've ever done. So, congratulations.
I mean, it was like a fun line, and everyone's like, ooh! But then I was like, what does that mean, though?
A movie or something. Let me see what it's from.
Is it?
Get off the cross. We need the wood.
I mean, we're going to go glamping again.
It's the debut studio album by Firewater, released on October 22nd, 1996.
Obviously. God, I mean, for all of us who are fireheads, we knew that already.
And quote by Tori Amos.
Oh.
Tell me, quoting Tori.
Well, you know, now I'm not so, I mean, I think that's kind of cool that she decided to quote Tori Amos as a rebuke. I like Tori Amos, or at least I did back in the day.
Well, what about it?
It's not liking or not liking Tori Amos, okay? Mrs. Girardi!
God, sometimes you just don't come through.
Yeah, and that's then Tori Kyle...
that's an Erica Jane.
Tori Amos.
I know, I realized.
Change the subject. Talk like, about the financial industry. Something, anything,
I was like, this yes and experience is going to be very short-lived. I was like, I'll just do one token Tori Amos and move on.
No, I was always like, why are you so angry with your fucking plaid and your too thick eye? Like, she had bowling alley eyeliner. You know, I used to work with this girl at the bowling alley who was like, just like, she was like one of those Tori Amos girls. She's just like, fuck you, man. It's like, hey, when you rack those balls, like one of the pins got stuck on lane 16. She'd be like, fuck you. How about that? How about you go rack some fuck yous? It's like, oh, Jesus, Janine.
My dominant Tori Amos feeling is that when I was 18, I was an intern at Late Night with Conan O'Brien, and the music booker, she was always really surly. She's like, and her name was Debbie Sunshine, which is hilarious. And I just remember Debbie Sunshine. She was like, you know who I hate? Tori Amos. She's the worst. She's so difficult. So that's like what I always think about is like, really surly Debbie Sunshine hating Tori Amos because Tori Amos is really difficult, which makes me wonder, does that mean Tori Amos is really nice? Or is she even worse than Debbie Sunshine? I don't know.
You know, people like Debbie Sunshine are just like upset because they're really raw and they feel people's real personalities, okay? And yeah. I don't trust anybody named Sunshine. I'm sorry if anybody's listening that's named Sunshine.
or if Debbie Sunshine herself is listening.
But I don't. And there's this girl on Bravo on that show, Best Room Wins, named Sunshine. And she's like, my name is Sunshine. I'm really funny. I was like, who told you that? And why did you name yourself Sunshine? Crazy face. Well, I was so glad when she lost. Okay, spoiler alert. The point is, Andy's like, Kyle, a source that rhymed with Lawn Nessa said, Lisa always wins. Kyle, what do you think of that? And Kyle's like, no, that was a big mistake she made because, you know, she should have showed up. We would have loved to work through it. We would have, right, ladies? Am I right,
yeah,
ladies?
Yeah. And by the way, for the record, Kyle is still bringing around the box of Manolo Blahniks for Lisa's birthday, this passive-aggressive birthday present that she's even brought to the reunion. She's like, well, if she doesn't come, I'll just have it delivered. You should have had it delivered months ago, okay? Please. You're going to be bringing that around for the next couple years. Okay?
Yeah, and then they're like, what's inside? I'm like, do you guys not understand? This cast understands that brand name on the ribbon. Come on.
Do you think it's like Milano cookies? I mean, it's Manolo Blahniks.
Sea monkeys, okay? It's sea monkeys.
Yeah. It's in Scotch Guard. It's some packaged Scotch Guard in an old Manolo Blahniks box.
They're so fucking phony. And Dorit's like, but I don't think she's even capable of agreeing to disagree. Well, yeah, because she would be agreeing to say that she sold stories to Radar Online. You idiot. Like, that. You don't just agree to disagree on that. You either did it or you didn't do it.
Yeah, exactly. So Teddy's like, well, first and foremost, Mellencamps don't cry, okay? Second, I don't know. I sort of feel like she's going to show up. I kind of feel like, you know, Lisa, she just loves something dramatic. So I kind of feel like she's going to show up. So they're just, again, trying to plant the seed that Lisa's going to arrive. It's like, no.
Yes, and they're all, it's like she can't win, you know? And I'm not Team Vanderpump on this, but I'm not the team these ladies either, you know? It's like the woman can't win. If she showed up, they'd be like, oh, well, look at you showed up after you didn't show up for the entire season. And then she doesn't show up. And it's like, oh, look, he didn't show up. What a pussy. You know, it's like she's not going to win either way. And so Teddy's like, well, she'll show up for the dramatics. And Rena's like, yeah, I keep looking at the back door. And Denise is like, she should show up. And I'm like, you know what, Denise? Calm it over there, lady, okay? you calm down, okay? We'll see when these bitches are all up on you. And don't think you're not going to have a Rena, she's an alcoholic storyline sometime soon, because that's her greatest hits, and she will pull that out on you.
And also, since the audience loves Denise the most these days, you can be sure that next season the women are going to come for Denise and try to take her down. Okay?
Oh, hell yes.
Kyle did not work this hard to become the queen, only to have Denise Richards there to win the popularity contest. Oh,
God. Kyle winning. You know, that is just something I never, ever saw coming. I have to say.
I'm not sure. Just because Erika Jayne says it doesn't mean that we have to accept it. So
Kyle's the only original left as a main housewife. I mean, she wins. She's the new OG of this show. She won. Listen, I hate that skank, and I will say, you won.
She did win. Vanderpump let her win. It's true. But either way, Kyle basically is, she just doesn't think that Vanderpump's going to show up. Basically, and her theory is correct. She said, you know what? She's been unmasked, and she's had us focus solely on this whole Radar Online thing, so that way we don't go back and focus on Vanderpump Dogs. But again, I still contend, this is maybe even a Lisa Vanderpump issue. It's like, you know what? who the hell cares if she just wanted to have a scene where she talked about the fact that Dorit sent a dog back to the pound? You know? I don't know.
Yeah, well, as Kyle puts it, because Denise's like, why do you think she didn't show up? Her husband must not have a very big dick, I'll tell you that. And Kyle's like, well, she doesn't want to face any of us because she's been unmasked.
Yeah.
She was called out with what happened at Vanderpump Dogs. And, you know, why would you do something like that to someone you supposedly care about?
Yeah.
And Erica's like, cause she doesn't care about anybody. She don't care about nobody like me. Listen, I care about people. I have a picture of the card I sent Vanderpump. It says, your brother died. Sincerely, Erica Jane. tell me that's not caring.
I even almost put on a little Garfield sticker too, but I didn't.
All I had was Odie, and I thought that would be bad taste. All right, I'm so caring to call me Karen. All right.
You know, I don't think that, I think that Vanderpump cared for them, for some of them at least. I mean, remember the, on her
she
big
cared
breakup?
About Kyle.
Yeah, the big breakup day, the way she came bounding towards that door, remember how happy she was? It was like, it was specifically the happiest she'd been in like years on the show. She was like, bum, 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 like all like happy and jolly. She had like a jolly strut. So I think that she cared. And there was also that like really cute scene with Lisa and Kyle when they went to dinner with Denise and they were just like giggling the entire time. So I think she did cry. I mean, she did care. But
well, Kyle,
whatever.
The only thing that makes her palatable. So good luck with that. So Kyle's like, well, she keeps focusing on this Radar Online thing because she doesn't want to confront the dog things. So what are you saying? That the Radar Online thing she's focusing on because she's not guilty in that, or but she is guilty in the other thing? What are you saying right now, Kyle?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So then a black SUV starts to show up and they're like really trying to make us think that this might be Lisa showing up after all. But it's also like very obvious, like, oh yeah, Camille hasn't arrived yet. So clearly this is Camille, and it's like showing up and showing up. And then, yeah, it's Camille with the Kimbers.
With the Kimbers. Yeah. Her new DDs, the new DDs. And Erica's like, well, I'm expecting a stunt of the most dramatic proportions. I'll be disappointed if that doesn't happen. And Kyle's like, yeah, she's going to be like, it was so hateful. It's like, you are such hateful little skanks. Okay?
Yeah.
And I'm glad that she didn't give you your way. Only right now.
Yeah.
Just 5 seconds.
So so Camille gets herself situated in her dressing room, which is next to Lisa Vanderpump. She's like, oh, it's right next to... I'm almost at a loss for words. I wish I had a little... help, so I could articulate my emotions right now. I feel very much
you know what?
You know
I
what?
I think that you're feeling kind of sad
feeling
because
kind of sad.
There are other girls who are probably going to attack
they're
you over
attack
things that you're guilty of or
guilty,
not guilty of, but the point is they're supposed to be your friends.
My friends, and then so upsetting.
I love when Camille has to talk to a paid friend, because that's like the only kind of friends Camille has on the show. It's like people she's paying, and now it's a hairdresser, and the hairdresser is not even a Kimber, so she doesn't even have to pretend she gives a fuck. She's just not saying anything.
Yeah.
And also, I think they got like a teenage urchin off the street to do her hair. Did you notice? I was like, what are you, 13? So she's like pretending to comb Camille's hair, and Camille's like, wow, so hot. Shrank. Sad. So then back on stage, Andy's like, so Lisa Rinna, you got into a heated battle on Twitter with pretty much everyone in the world, but also Nicolette Sheridan.
Yeah. Yeah. And basically they talk about that whole thing about how Nicolette Sheridan met Michael Bolton at the Hollywood Bowl, and Harry came back in the middle of the night. He woke up in the middle of the night and felt like he had to go back, and he came back and there was a love letter in the trash saying that I slept with Michael Bolton, whatever, this whole thing, and then Nicolette Sheridan denies it, etc. And then Andy is basically saying, like, wow, well, you know, now I'm going to get more and more of it that Nicolette should be on this show. I'm like, you know what? I think that we were actually very early, before the scandal even hit, we said that Nicolette Sheridan should be on the show. Like, I think like a year ago, right?
Yeah, and I don't know why. I think we've been saying that ever since she got into a physical altercation with Mark Cherry.
Yeah, I think, like, for some reason, I think that, like, somewhere along the line, we just realized that Nicolette Sheridan was, like, the missing puzzle piece.
And it would
this.
Be amazing, because these shows are based on Desperate Housewives. That's how they started. And, you know, that's Nicolette Sheridan. I would love a full circle with Nicolette Sheridan. I mean, no one's more evil than Nicolette Sheridan. She's a monster.
Yeah.
Bring her on, I say.
No, I agree. I think
that's the most interesting storyline Lisa Rinna has had in years since Munchausen was this talk about Nicolette Sheridan, and it didn't even happen on the show.
Yeah.
No offense, Lisa Rinna. Love you. But
yeah, so that was basically the big, I mean, that was it. And then basically, then Rinna's like, but Denise's ex was, Denise's husband was married to her too. So, and he's like, that's even more reason why we should bring her onto this show.
Yeah, exactly. Have you seen Real Housewives of New York? It's like, make the round, Toms.
I know. And then the other thing is that they were like, then they're all like laughing, like, oh my God, there's so much crossover. Kyle is saying this. I'm like, have you looked at your family? Have you seen your family? Do you see how many people have crossed over with your family? What about like your entire, like the, between the Kardashians and Kyle's family and Faye Resnick and all those people, they've all slept with each other.
Oh,
so
yeah,
enough about
totally.
That. Enough about that, yeah. Kyle.
Yeah, enough, Kyle. Okay. You're basically here because you're leftovers from Kim's career.
Yeah, exactly.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So, let's see. Next up is, this girl drinks tequila like the world's not enough. Looks drop-dead gorgeous. It has boobies. Love your boobies, Denise. It's Denise. So we go, we talk about Denise. And the whole first part is about how Denise just dresses like a normal person and everyone's mortified.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much just moves through some boring stuff because Denise was really fun to watch, but not really great to talk about. Like, remember that time Denise talked to her husband in her kitchen?
Yeah, pretty much. So, you know, Andy asked like what Charlie's reaction to the show was, Charlie Sheen. And she was like, yeah, he was pretty supportive, although he wasn't totally happy about some of the things I said, you know, like how he brought a hooker, a lady of the night, as he likes to say, to Thanksgiving. I'm like, thanks for that modification.
I know. Was it a hooker or a vampire?
You know? I know. Lady Which is a Lady of the Night. It sounds like someone from like 1847 Paris, you know?
Named, it's like a vampire saloon whore in Paris.
I know. Like, what? Founded like a bordello, like in the seventh, like, arrondissement, you know?
Yeah. Hooker sounds better.
Yeah. Her name is Jeanette. When she came to Thanksgiving.
And then that led to Denise's best line, which was, even a hooker deserves a Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
So she's like, I didn't even know it was so secret. I mean, you know, he says he's in a different place now, but you know, people love him cause he's honest. And, then we talk about her style and then here, blah, blah, blah.
She's like, I mean, I wore crystal shorts in the Bahamas. I thought I was being fancy. Guess not.
Oh, Crystal. That was her name. Lady of the Night, Crystal.
Crystal. It was her short. She had great style for being a Lady of the Night.
So he's like, well, people think you need years of therapy after Charlie. Why are you so good with crazy? She's like, you haven't seen me yet, Andy. I'm going to get fucking crazy. Denise is going to get fucking crazy. I can't believe that Denise was so like prim and proper this year. I remember when her show was on the air for a season, I had to recap it for TV Gasm or Trash Talk TV, one of them, whatever was around during that time. And I recapped that whole season, and she's like nice and innocent, like, I love my dad. But then In Touch or somebody writes a gossip article about them, and so she goes in, and she's like, hey, I just wanted you guys to know that this isn't true, and I'd appreciate it if you didn't print this. And they're like, well, sorry, but we're printing it. She's like, you listen to me. She like reaches across to strangle them and like loses her shit. So that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for that, Denise, on this show.
That will happen. I think that will happen. I think we even see like even hints of it later on with Camille. Just a small touch of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, basically Denise tells a whole story about how she, when Charlie was like going, had that really crazy period and she moved it near him. So that way, he could call in the middle of the night because she just basically wants him to be the best dad as possible for the daughters, blah, 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 all that kind of
And she also stuff. Needs to take care of him because he's HIV positive and he's got all these problems and he's a mess. And so, you know, she has to be there sometimes at 2 a.m. or whatever to help him out. And she's like, well, it's good not to talk about the father of your children.
Yeah.
And I was like, I feel like everything is a dig at Camille, you know, right. Even though it's not really. I mean, what she's saying is right, you know, but.
Yeah, exactly. So, hey, Rinna, what was, you were friends with Denise during that period. What was it like for you? And she's like, Denise was a saint.
Is there? Am I supposed to say something else? I don't know what else to say. She was a saint. I'm wearing a wig. You're the wig. You're the wig.
And Andy's like, Erica Jane, what do you think about Denise's laid-back sense of style? And Erica's like, people should be themselves. It's like, you have two names. Please. Please with that, people should be themselves. Erica Jane, yeah. Who has an alter ego. So let me see. I'm kind of lost here in my notes.
Okay,
I took
I can
notes
help.
On all of this, and I don't really need to talk about Denise that much.
Yeah, so Denise, then Andy's asking about, like, the divorce, and they had no prenup and everything, and basically how she could have had, like, a slice of Charlie's ownership of 2.5 Men, which would have been, like, a huge amount of money. But, you know, she chose not to, obviously, because she didn't really care that much. And then we talk about her daughter, Eloise, who has a chromosome disorder. And so Denise starts to get choked up because she's talking about, like, you know, the effort and, you know, it, like, how hard it was to sort of get that news officially in writing, etc. And so she's crying. Denise is crying. She's talking about, like, you know, this very sweet girl, very, very sweet girl. And it was, like, years of testing. And then they finally find it out. And she sees it printed out. She has this chromosome deletion or whatever it was. And she's like, I'm sorry, I'm just crying. And it goes, coming up, Dorit, how do your big fake boobs do on mammograms? It's like, that's a juxtaposition.
I know. And then it cuts right back. And he's like, yeah, chromosome disorder, huh? I was like, wait.
Goes, what only does she these have? Shows. Yeah, only I was like, that's a nice
these
way to ask.
Shows. So then he's like, so, Dorit, you're pretending to cry. What's up with that? Is this not enough about you? Or because Dorit's like, oh! I'm like, Dorit, you are not crying, okay? There's not one even pretend tear there. And she's like, well, I understand. Because Jigga was a late speaker. He did reach milestones. But as a mother, your biggest job is to put little helmets on your children's heads so they're not shaped like triangles. Am I right, ladies?
We actually have audio of the first time that Jagger spoke. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
Young ladies.
Yeah!
It's amazing that his first words were young ladies.
Young ladies. So Andy's like, well, let's find something else for Dorit to fake it about. Let's change topics. Chaos and drama follow Kyle. When life gives her limes, she makes margaritas. Why? What was that?
I don't know what that was in reference to, but I already know that Bethany and Kyle must no longer be friends now.
Oh, so she's the margarita queen now? Oh, okay, fine. All right, you know what? You cheated Brianne, Kyle, which is, you know, it's so much for you. I was your friend. I was a babysitter for you, okay? And you know what? Now it's all over. It's all over.
Yeah, I thought it was weird because that's literally Bethany's opening line, and I didn't know if I missed something where he was referencing that she's friends with Bethany or what was going on. But that's pretty sad. Like, the only way to introduce Kyle is to take a more interesting Housewives tagline and apply it to her.
Also, like, did Kyle do something significant with margaritas this... Oh, maybe it's like a very... Oh, I just remember.
It's one of those things that people are going to be like, you idiots, this is what you're...
No, I got... But it's so tenuous, and they didn't even bring it up in the montage. When they went to France, and she's like, can I have a margarita? Sorry, I just like to have a margarita. Remember, she's like, I don't drink rosé. I don't like rosé.
I hate rosé. Yeah, I've always hated rosé. Everyone knows that I'm a margarita person.
Yeah, it was a tenuous connection.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. Kyle's known for drama. Like what she orders to drink.
Yeah. So then we get an anxiety montage of Kyle being afraid of everything in the world.
Supposedly being paranoid by saying one eye is bigger than the other. No, Kyle, one eye is bigger than the other. Okay, and I'm allowed to say that because I have that too. You're just lucky that yours is from Botox. Mine is from sleeping on my face. Okay, I think you're so great with your privileged eye wonk.
Yeah, your self-induced eye wonk. Your eye wonk costs money, Kyle. You actually paid to have your eye wonk. Ronnie got his naturally.
Yeah, I got mine for free. This is hard work, this eye wonk.
So Andy starts asking about the mammograms, asking if Rinna regrets taking Kyle to the mammogram. And of course, Rinna's like, no, of course not. And then apparently there was like talk online that this was all a big setup because you don't get your results of a mammogram the same day. So people thought that this was all fake.
And then Kyle's well, I don't care if it's fake, because even if it is fake, you should go get your mammograms. Who cares? Like, if all the things to get on Kyle about, this is not one I care about. But yeah. But then Kyle does make it sound fake because her explanations sounds like a lie. You know, she's like, no, no, because I had made an appointment to go to get my mammogram, but then I couldn't go. But then Brenna had made an appointment to go get her mammogram, so I went with Brenna, but they had already made time to see us because I had already made an appointment to make my mammogram, and so then they could see us. And, oh, yeah, by the way, this place also does do mammograms same day, and they also do photos in the same day. Like, you can get your photos delivered while you're getting your mammogram processed. It's amazing, Andy.
It's like, who still uses non-digital cameras? And you just watch Kyle just start to, like, look crestfallen.
Yeah, and they're talking about her generalized anxiety disorder, which, please give me a break. And she's like, my husband almost had to call 911. It was so bad. I'm like, oh, good.
Almost had to call. So then it's like, so Teddy, since you have anxiety also, how do you help Kyle when she's spiraling? And like, do you guys ever go to therapy together? And then we see unseen footage of Kyle and Teddy imitating the audience, a.k.a. lying on a couch, sleeping, being like, are you asleep yet? Are you asleep yet?
I know, I wrote, why was this not seen?
Why
this is crazy?
Why is there footage of me right now on TV? That's so strange.
Look, it's me after I followed the Teddy starvation diet.
Hey, look, it's me watching Kyle ship her daughter back and forth from DC to take a picture to send to a friend.
Yeah, this season. That's really sad. So then Andy's like, so Erica, one night you tweeted, all hail the real queen, Kyle Richards. What's up with that? And she's like, well, look at today. And he's like, what about today? And she's like, she's the queen. Why?
Well, look who showed up. Kyle showed up. Listen, where I come from, attendance gets you an A, all right? A for attendance. Kyle showed up. She's here. So yeah. She wins.
I'm like, well, God, that is this season, you know? Well, yeah. You showed up.
Exactly. And then everyone, and Rina's like, I agree. And Dorit's like, she's one of the originals. And they're all basically like, yeah, she's the queen. She's the queen. And I was like, I don't believe any of you guys are enthusiastic about this. And second of all, this really was reminding me of, like, Game of Thrones right now. I was like, this feels uneasy.
Yeah, they're about to chop your head off.
Where the hell is Cersei when you need her? You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Cersei wouldn't show up. She was like too, she was too victimized.
I feel like basically, well, I want to say that Lisa Vanderpump was Daenerys on her dragon, but Lisa Vanderpump was the incumbent. So she was Cersei.
Vanderpump was Cersei. And it's kind of like that storyline. It petered out at the end.
Yeah, it had a very underwhelming ending. So then who is Daenerys? Definitely not Kyle.
I'm not giving any of Game of Thrones to this shit show. Okay, this show needs to prove itself. I'm not going to give Game of Thrones to this show. I won't do it. I will not do it. Okay?
Yeah, I don't think anyone's come in and burned everything down. Maybe Brandy Glanville at one point could have been Daenerys, but never really met.
Yeah,
never
or
really
if
happened.
Daenerys was just like, were people doing coke in your bathroom? It's like the closest we get.
Yeah.
So Erica's like, yeah, look at her. She's the queen. And Kyle's like, well, I mean, that makes me laugh, but it's very sweet of you, you know? And then Erica goes, gives her like the dirtiest look. Did you notice that?
Erica snap her from the side.
Yeah, she gives such a mean look. You guys better watch out now that she's named you the new queen. You are so going down.
Maybe Camilla's Daenerys, to be honest. I mean, she's been lying in wait since season one. But the thing is that this was, I think, actually the culmination of everything Kyle has wanted in her entire life. And I'm not even being facetious or joking. I think this is truly, like, she has always been in Kim's shadow. She's always been in the shadow of someone. She was in Kim's shadow for pretty much her entire life. Comes onto the show, she's in Lisa's shadow, and this is the first time she has ever been in the sun. And it's so sad.
Yeah, it is. Time to cancel it. So
we need some shade.
American Woman. It's time to American Woman this shit. Okay.
Yeah.
So then Kyle, back to Camille in the dressing room. She's like, this is not going to be fun. Shrunk. I'm on the hot seat next. Shrunk. And the hairdresser is like, I don't get paid enough for this shit. Like, seriously, yeah. I need an increase in my living wage.
Exactly. Okay. So Camille comes out onto the set and he goes, you're back, which may have been a veiled reference to, like, season one Camille, our new t-shirt. And she goes, yes, I am. I don't know if I'm happy about that or terrified. Camille.
And Andy's like, before we put you on a kebab stick and treat you like chopped up pork, all right, how is Camille Grammer Meyer? All right, congrats on tying the knot. Remember your wedding? Wasn't that fun, everybody? Hey, remember that? That other time where Camille got married? Hey, remember Camille's wedding, everyone? They're like, haha, that was so... I was like, just get to the point.
Hey, remember that time when you guys all pretended like you liked Camille so you get a free trip to Hawaii? That was great, right? So it's like, well, I want whatever Mauricio had at that dinner in Hawaii. And we see unseen footage of Mauricio going, hey, remember when we went up that hill? Yeah, the hill. And you guys, let me tell my joke. I have a joke. Okay. I don't remember what the joke is.
I forgot it. I forgot my joke. But we went up a hill like Jack and Jill, which rhymed, so.
Is there a new house for me up on the top of that hill, Mauricio? No. It's not nice.
So Andy's like, well, apparently the crew was laughing so hard, they had a problem with the audio. Isn't that crazy? I was like, this is the most hard-up crew I've ever heard about in my life. So then they talk about Camille going skiing, and then Hannah from Montana said, you know, they saw pics of your mobile home, and it's beautiful. And she's like, yeah, I mean, we're still in it. We haven't moved into the beach house yet. So back.
And we do see some photos, and it is, like, a gorgeous mobile home. It's, like, one of those things that you see in, like, a magazine that's like, guess what? Mobile homes can be like this. It's a magazine written by Colin from Below Deck Med. And basically, I mean, it's just, like, she's not living in squalor, needless to say.
Yeah. So then we see the clips of season one when she was complaining about Kelsey's apartment in New York only being 3,500 square feet. And she's like, but we're used to 19 million feet. This is crazy. I don't know how we're going to live like this. And Andy's like, so, wow, that was crazy how shallow you were, wasn't it? You know, I mean, we were talking about Denise. We were talking to Denise just a while ago about her philosophy on not taking her husband's money. What do you think about that? She's like, yeah, my mom said to watch Denise because, she, you know, she makes it about the kids and she's classy. So, in other words, fuck my mother. So that was great. Lost a mother, too, this season. So.
Hey, Camille, why won't you give up grammar? Like, it's not your name anymore. She's like, it's for my kids. Doing it for my kids. Yeah. Also, it's my signature thing. I mean, no one knows me outside of being Kelsey Grammer's wife, to be honest.
Yeah, and then they start. Then this turns into a weird fight between Denise and Camille. That's like Andy's really good at angling this stuff, and, yeah, you know, to turn them against each other.
I was gonna say, because they don't seem to have. Generally speaking, I don't think they have much of a beef. And then Andy, like, is trying to pit them against each other about the prenups. And then on top of, and it seems like actually Denise falls for it. And once Denise falls for it, then Camille starts getting involved. I was like, what? Why are they really fighting right now?
Yeah, and it was kind of a funny fight because they both were surprised that it was even happening, you know?
Yeah.
Denise is like, I can't wait to get rid of the name Sheen. Fuck that. And Camille's like, well, I did take it off my social media. I mean, it's still on a passport. And Erica's like, well, how does your husband feel about that? She's like, he supports me. You know, he supports me. And Andy's like, well, what was your reaction to Denise not having a prenup? And then they show the clip of Denise going, well, I could have taken him for everything, but I'm not a greedy fucking whore.
Yeah.
And so it cuts back and she's like, well, I was married 13 years, so that was a long time. And Andy's like, well, should Denise have asked for half? She's like, I don't know. I mean, how long was she married? You know, and Denise's like, well, he was almost bankrupt before we were married. I was like, why are you two fighting?
I know. I was like, what is this fight about? And then Camille's, and she's like, yeah, he is, I'm sorry, Denise was like, yeah, he was almost bankrupt when we got married. And Camille goes, got it. Okay. Well, I don't know much about it. I mean, I'm sorry I didn't follow you that much.
Yeah, no. Well, you don't have to know that much about it. You don't have to. It's like, well, I worked hard in my marriage. I didn't just sit back in fancy clothes shoving bonbons in my face. I actually earned that money.
Meaning that she worked with Kelsey's production company. So she actually had a title, you know.
Well, she did bring in Medium. Apparently that was her project, Medium. And that was their most successful thing. So she gets some credit, right?
So... yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, but that's what she's saying. And then Andy's like, so what are you saying? And Dorit's like, do you like bonbons, Denise?
By the way, I love bonbons. And if someone said, oh, you just sit back and watch TV and eat bonbons all day, I'd be like, I wish. I wish.
Well, no one on this show. Well, except Erica. She'd be like, I love bonbons. Watch me eat one. Oh, they're delicious. Look at me eating the bonbon. Oh. She's like licking the tip of it. Yeah, I'm a normal woman. Just an average woman, everybody.
You know, one thing that season one Camille is great at is she knows just how to add a little thorn at the end of every sentence that just gets under everyone's skin. So, like, when she tells, when Denise says, oh, like, Charlie was almost bankrupt when I got married, Camille goes, okay, got it. Sorry, I didn't know. She could have ended it there, but she goes, sorry, I didn't follow you that much. It's just like, it's so passive aggressive. And then on top of that, Denise is like, meow. She makes some sort of reaction, and Camille goes, it's okay, whatever. And then she's like, takes her hand and is like, waves Denise off, like, be quiet now. I mean, yeah. Camille, I mean, it's so rude, but Camille is the master of it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not even a fight between you two. It's, like, so typical Beverly Hills to be fighting over money your husband's made. Like, exactly. Who cares? Like, why are you guys fighting about this? Give me a break. Camille's, so then they go to lunch.
And I was about to say, Camille's also the master of the angry glare. So when she said, I didn't just sit back and shove bonbons in my face, and then she, like, purses her lips and just glares at Denise from across the room, you know?
Her eyes are, like, kind of closed, but just opening, like, and then she's, like, kind of rolling her head around while she's shrugging.
Yeah.
It's, like, so Camille.
So, yeah. So they go to lunch, and then all of a sudden it goes, wah, 10 minutes later. Mm. Boom, 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 boom. So I expect, like, a huge fight to be brewing. And instead it's Camille going, I mean, I don't know what's going on with Denise, the money stuff. Kimber 1, can you get me a Diet Coke? Kimber 2, can you support her? Thank you.
Yeah. Poor Camille has nobody to talk to. And then so Denise is, of course, Teddy's up Denise's ass during break. Because Denise is the most likable one at the moment, and Teddy's the most hated. So she's in there trying to get some audience points by literally sitting over Denise's shoulder. And Denise is like, why is Camille being so mean? And Teddy's like, yeah, she just wants to be annoyed with someone. I'm Teddy. And then we keep cutting back and forth like there's some huge fight happening. But
nothing happens. I don't know why they said 10 minutes later. Like, literally nothing happened. It was just Denise being like, yeah, like, you know what? She just probably needs to get laid. It's like, oh, I'm glad we like stuck around just to see Denise make this passing comment.
Yeah, and Teddy's like, well, I already scheduled my getting laid in this week. Oh, remember when I made that joke and it was really funny that one time? Yeah. And repeat it every day.
So speaking of getting laid, when we come back...
Who's talking, am I right?
Yeah. When we come back, it's the X-rated secrets montage where we see all the ladies talking about sex and things like that. So now that means we have to sit through and listen to, like, lots of uninteresting things about their sex lives. Like, hey, why is it okay, Denise, for another woman to give Aaron a hand job? She's like, oh, well, he hadn't had one, so just thought
it'd
be fun.
Yeah, this is boring.
I mean, there was literally nothing interesting. There was, like, a whole talk about Aaron, having sex with Aaron and his center, and he has a big penis. I mean,
Aaron's
like,
got a big dick. To keep love alive, Rena and Harry do role-playing, and... and Brenna's like, yeah, turns out all you have to do is bend over. I'm like, so do you do role playing or anal? Like, what's the point if all you have to do is bend over? Like, why go to Party City? You know what I mean?
So then finally we get into the good stuff, which is the Lucy apple juice scandal. So we then see a big montage of the entire, of the greatest hits of that story. Which actually, I really enjoyed. I never had a problem with that. A lot of people are like, I can't believe this whole season's about a dog. I had no problem. I don't mind if it's about some trivial thing. I think Beverly Hills works best when there's some trivial bullshit and they all spiral out of control. My issue is that once Lisa was gone and it kind of like that, all the drama, all the conflict was gone, they did nothing, you know, until the very end. But anyway, so I was like I really enjoyed going, revisiting the Lucy Applejuice saga.
Well, it just, you know, it just reinforced everything I originally thought, because they showed all those first clips of the dog being brought out at Vanderpump Dogs and Vanderpump saying, no, I don't want to talk about this. And then Sessa being like, oh, really? Why?
He's
like
such
being
a
smart
actor.
Ass with her. Yeah. And all that stuff. What I loved about this was Andy just going after Teddy. I loved it.
He did a good job.
Because on this show, they say it a million times so you'll believe it. They're all guilty of it, but especially fucking Teddy with this. You know, and I had a fit on this show a couple, well, probably every week for the past 20 weeks, let's be honest,
yes,
going for Teddy. And it was so nice to get some validation, you know, because sometimes you're like, am I just talking to a wall?
Yeah.
You know, does anybody else see this? So I loved Andy calling her out on being just a fucking liar.
Loved yeah. It. So when they come out of the montage, Andy basically is like asking her about, like, you know, her lack of accountability. And she goes, before we say anything, I need to once again apologize. I made a mistake. Hi, I'm Teddy. I'm like, oh, God. Thanks again. Thank you. Are you like, what office is she running for? Okay.
So Andy's like, Teddy, we saw everything this season from your point of view. What happened before the season started? And she apologizes. And then she's like, well, I got this call saying, you know, we know you have a problem with Dorit and the dog ended up in the shelter. So, you know, this is your chance to bring it up on camera. And there's lots of calls from Blizzard. And he's like, so was it just with Blizzard? And she's like, well, no, it was Blizzard. But then it was like, hold on, Cess is on the other line. No, hold on, Cess is on the other line. I was like, so still no call from fucking Vanderpump, you know, which has been what I've been going crazy about this whole time. And he's like, but why would you get involved in that? She's like, because I was petty and I was getting revenge. And last year after the reunion, I got a call from Vanderpump, and she said that Dorit refuses to go to the after dinner party if Teddy is there. And I acted out. Dorit's like, well, I did say that. I can't do it. I did say it. And Andy's like, yeah, but I don't understand why you never spoke to Lisa. You know, it was always an employee.
Exactly. Exactly. Also, thinking about it, like, so, like, what is it? What, I mean, I think there probably is an answer to this question, but what truly is the difference between saying, you know what, tonight, when we shoot the scene, the three of us, we should ask Camille about her bullshit. We should ask, I'm going to confront Lisa at dinner tonight about her bullshit. What philosophically is different about that versus saying, you know what, today when we shoot in the dog store, we're going to bring this up because it needs to be brought up. I mean, I guess the answer would be, because I'm sort of speaking through this, would be that when you're planning to confront someone, you're upfront with your intentions versus Lisa not being upfront. But I still think there is an intentionality there, and that's and they seem to have a big issue with the intentionality as well, as if they don't ever plan to have shoot scenes to take someone down.
Right.
Do you think, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess they just probably don't really like that.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
They probably just don't like she's not up front.
They're saying that Lisa's sneaky and blah, 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 and she planned on having this dog there. My point of contention is I don't know. I'm getting tongue-tied, and all I want to do is say that Rinna, of course, jumps in and tries to stick up for Teddy right away because she's team bring down Vanderpump, you know? So she's like, why did you always speak to the employees? And Rinna's like, oh, but Teddy, weren't you close with Blizzard? Hadn't you gotten close with him? And she's like, no, I wasn't close. I'm like, Teddy, you're ruining the story, okay? Stick to what lies you're on today, like, Teddy.
If you weren't close with him, why did you have so many texts with him, you know?
Yeah, we text him all the time. Then, and you told us at the beginning of the season that you'd gotten close to Blizzard.
Yeah, and then Andy is like,
with your kids.
Yeah, and Andy's like, well, isn't that if you're not that close with him, it makes it all the more weird to me that you never just spoke to Lisa about it, you know? And then Teddy's like,
but that's the point, because this was Lisa's head guy saying it. No, it's a 22-year-old intern. It's not Lisa's guy saying it.
Yeah, okay? And it's
unless
also
going with Sessa, but you weren't talking to Sessa either. You were talking to Blizzard.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I mean, do I think that there was some shadiness going on regarding this scene? Yes. But you know what? Like, you let John Blizzard steer the car. I mean, this is on you. Anyone who's never even spoken to him before could sniff out that this guy is just like, he wants to hang on to any housewife and will do and say whatever it takes just to be in association with him. Okay, so like,
well, at least she's not pretending, now that she's been caught, now that she's on her like third version of this story, or fourth version of this story or whatever, after she's compulsively lied over and over again and gotten caught, you know, what she's saying is that, of course, you know, she did do it to bring down Dorit, and she did do all this. It was her plan. She just thought that she's just saying it was Lisa's idea, so she shouldn't be blamed for it. It's like,
yeah,
but you never talked to Lisa. But his head guy was saying, okay, it was his intern. Give me a break, Teddy. So then Erica, Andy's like, Erica, last year you said that Teddy was no innocent. cupcake or whatever. And Erica's like, yeah, I didn't realize how much Teddy disliked Dorit. Whoa, that was not nice to go down that road. And he's like, yeah, that's pretty serious for someone who calls themselves the queen of accountability. Teddy?
And I'm taking accountability for it. I'm like, no, this is not the time for meta accountability, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, post-dated accountability. You've already lied multiple times, lie face.
And then Andy's
like... he's like, yeah, but it's amazing that at that time you had such a lapse.
And such a and huge, gaping, hypocritical lapse.
Yes, and Dorit finally has something to truly be mad at on this show, or mad about, and she nails her with it, and I'm so glad. She's like, what sticks with me is at what point did you decide you didn't want to go along with this? It wasn't Vanderpump Dogs when you saw that Lisa backed away. So it wasn't because it was out of the goodness of your heart and you thought, poor Dorit, let me save Dorit. It was when you got caught, which is...
when you realize, I don't want to do this to Dorit. I don't want to be the only one to do this to Dorit.
Yeah.
And that hit.
So Dorit.
Good for you, Dorit. Good for you. Yeah, so it looks like things are we're finally getting to the real Lucy Lucy apple juicy parts next week. So looking forward to that, I hope. Well, I'm sure, actually, I think that next week's reunion will be good. The previews looked really, really good. So I'm actually excited for next week's. I think that they just had to get rid of the bullshit this week, you know?
Yeah. Well, I say fuck all y'all, but also fuck you Vanderpump too. Okay, we deserve better. And also, fuck you set people. What does that say?
It's crazy. But you know what? We are going to have such a fun time talking about the reunion next week, because we're going to tear these people to shreds even more and poke holes through all this bullshit, because we're going to be talking about it in Cleveland a week, pretty much a week from tomorrow. So, yeah, get your tickets to our Cleveland show. And then in Pittsburgh, we're talking Real Housewives of New York reunion, and then Southern Charm on Saturday in Baltimore. It's going to be a great, great, great week. Go to watchcrappins.com to get tickets.
Watchcrappins.com for ticket links, shirt links, cameo links, every link available. Hey, to get this on video. Whoa. Everybody, thanks so much for being here. We will talk to you next time. Bye.
I'm Gemma Kearney, and I'd love you to join me for a brand new podcast from Galaxy called Sorry, Not Sorry. I'll be talking about why all of us should be making more time for pleasure in our lives without feeling apologetic about it. I'll have some very inspiring guests joining me to discuss how they make time for pleasure and why we should be doing the same. That's Sorry, Not Sorry with Galaxy on iTunes, Acast, Spotify, and all good podcast platforms.